Earlier this month, a group of European astronomers announced that they've discovered six distant planets that orbit the wrong way around their stars. For more on how that can be and what it means, we have invited Derek Pitts, the chief astronomer of the Franklin Institute Science Museum, back to our show. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
How can a planet orbit the wrong way? What does that mean?
Well, it means that something very interesting happened in the early history of that solar system, because typically when planets form around stars, you know, the whole sort of gang of stuff is rotating in the same direction. And, you know, it actually brought to mind, Leonard, an image I have in my mind from my childhood watching the Ed Sullivan Show on Sunday nights many years ago. You know, Sullivan used to have these great performers on that would twirl plates on the tips of sticks. And you could see how the plates sort of rotated around in one direction. Well, this is how these solar systems tend to form, is this huge batch of dust and gas swirling around in one direction. The star forms in the center as the gas collapses and forms the star. And then the planets sort of clump up together as hunks of material, all rotating in the same direction. And so it makes sense that the planets would do that.
And that's what happened with our solar system.
That's what happened with our solar system. And I also must say that this is what we think is the standard model for what happens with other solar systems. I say it that way because, you know, we're sort of new at this business of discovering other planets orbiting other stars. And so it's possible that we may find something different. And here in this case of these six planets, we've discovered this situation.
Now, these planets have to be very huge, because until recently we couldn't find any planets because they're just too small and too far away. So
yes.
How do we even know about their spin?
Well, it is indeed a challenge to figure this out. And the way that we find out about the spin is there's a special way in which we can observe these stars. And using special kinds of telescopes, we can actually watch the brightness of the star change. The brightness can grow and decrease as the planets of the star orbit around the star. And what happens is, as a planet passes in front of the star, the brightness of the star drops just a bit. And we have detectors, sophisticated enough, sensitive enough, that we can actually measure that slight decrease. Now, the motion that's seen is called a transit, the planet moving across the face of the star. And during that transit, all kinds of information can be determined. And one of those bits of information is which way are the planets going. And in this case, we've been able to see that there are several going in the wrong direction.
Are they also going in the right direction in those around those suns?
It seems as if
we're talking about counterclockwise in our case, right?
Yes.
Is that usually the way they rotate?
It seems that is the way they usually rotate, is that counterclockwise direction. If we could look down on the star from the top, it seems that that's the way they usually rotate. But then the thing that we have to take into account, though, is the early environment and early history of the solar system. There's a lot going on there. It's incredibly dynamic. And one of the things that really makes a big difference is what kind of what are called tidal forces. And these are the forces exerted by the star itself and whatever planets there are in the solar system that are being formed. Their forces, the gravitational and tidal forces, the pulling back and forth, has an effect on the planets. And so it is thought that one way in which these planets could end up going backwards is that they've had some sort of a gravitational interaction with another planet that changes the orbit from being sort of a horizontal orbit, if you will, right across the equator of the star, to becoming a tipped orbit, if you will, so that the orbit then becomes not parallel, but then perpendicular to that horizontal axis. And as it sort of keeps flipping over, then it could be that the planet then seems to be orbiting backwards.
But so they're also not orbiting on a relatively similar plane as they do in our solar system.
It seems like that could be the case, too.
Now, one of the doctoral students who's part of the team that made the discovery called their findings a real bomb we're dropping onto the field of exoplanets. How might this discovery change existing theories of planetary formation beyond what you said? I mean, what you described doesn't strike me as all that radical. It makes sense. We often find suns colliding or coming in close proximity to each other.
And planets and doing the same thing, possibly, yes.
So I wouldn't be surprised that a planet was pulled out of its regular orbit by some other gravitational pull.
But here's the part where it gets really personal to us. Part of the reason why we're in this hunt to figure out if there are other planets, if there are planets orbiting other stars, is the search to find a planet that's very much like our own. And one of the theories about how these planets form has to do with what they tend to look like as they form. They tend to look like what we call hot Jupiters. Planets that are the size or mass of the planet Jupiter in our solar system, and even bigger, but mostly gaseous planets, but hot because they seem to have somehow migrated from further distances out in the solar system in close to the star. Mm-hmm. Now, if it turns out that this happened rather quickly, then that has one effect. But if it happens very slowly, that has another effect. And here's the big effect. If it happens quickly, you end up with these big planets whizzing around the star at a high rate of speed, and that then jeopardizes the opportunity for development of Earth-like planets.
So there, it's being said that this might mean there are fewer Earth-like planets out there than we had thought in the past?
It could be. That's one of the possibilities that shows up out of this when we look at how these hot Jupiters seem to be in close with a close, tight orbit around the star. It could be that they are destroying the possibility for the formation of planets somewhat like Earth.
Unlike in our system, where Mercury is a relatively small planet.
Yes, that's quite true. Although the history of our solar system actually is, the early history of our solar system is quite different from how the solar system shows itself to be now. And one of the manifestations of that is the fact that we have now reclassified Pluto from being an original planet of the solar system to being a dwarf planet. And part of that has to do with the fact that in the early history of the solar system, researchers have determined that there were a number of planets, a few more planets like Jupiter and Saturn in that size that were original members of the solar system that are no longer part of the solar system, again, to these dynamics that go on in the early history of the solar systems.
The explanation you gave for these eccentric orbits has been described as gravitational billiards. Should we assume that there's been a lot of gravitational billiards since the Big Bang?
Oh, yes, we certainly should imagine that that's the case. I would love to be able to observe the early development of a solar system for that reason. I mean, if we look at our own solar system, our moon has formed as a result of this sort of planetary gravitational billiards. An object about the size of Mars in the early history of our solar system crashed into the Earth, and the huge cloud of gas and dust thrown out into the immediate neighborhood eventually coalesced to become our moon. So it is one of the major building tools for objects in solar systems, this sort of collision due to gravity and the tidal forces between the planets of an early solar system.
And that's one of the reasons we now find that there may be some water on the moon?
It's part of the reason why we find that there could be some water on the moon, that early development of the solar system. And it also is, lies behind another sort of concern that we have, and that is the concern of, you know, is it possible that the Earth could have a collision with something else in our solar system at some time in the future? We've all heard the stories about nearby passage of asteroids and things of that sort. We don't expect anything large, Leonard, but it still shows us that, as a good friend of mine, David Levy, who was a noted amateur astronomer, once said, The solar system is still under construction. Even our solar system is still under construction in some sense. And so these sort of dynamics that we see in developing solar systems show us some of the mechanics of how that works.
A listener asks, even though the planets in our solar system orbit in the same direction, what about the way they revolve? This listener says, don't Uranus and Neptune revolve the wrong way?
One of them does revolve the wrong way, and you know, when we look at what goes on in the solar system, we find that there are all kinds of strange things happening. One of those planets has its rotational axis tipped more than 90 degrees away from vertical, and so that gives it a very sort of strange motion around the sun, if you will, and sort of changes the state of its so-called seasons as well because of that. So, again, the dynamics play a big role. And when, again, as we think about the early history, as we've learned about the early history of the solar system, there have been other large objects that have come through our solar system and have affected the outer planets in the ways that we see with Uranus and Neptune. And thank goodness, though, that we have those outer planets, because we now know that if it weren't for those outer planets, the Earth and all of the other three inner planets would have been terribly bombarded by the detritus and materials left over from the beginning of the solar system, such that life may not have developed here at all.
Just one more thing. How far away are the solar systems with the planets orbiting the wrong way? Are they pretty far out, which would mean that we're seeing them quite a long time ago?
Actually not. Most of these planets are pretty close in, within, say, I know that some of the surveys are working are looking at planets that are within 300 light years of Earth. So they are not very far out at all. So if you think of it that way in terms of how far back we're seeing in time, you know, in that case we're looking some 300 years back in time. So we're not looking very far out. We're looking at stuff that's relatively close by.
Thank you so much for talking with us. Derek Pitts is the chief astronomer of the Franklin Institute Science Museum in Philadelphia.
My pleasure. Thank you, Leonard.